Father, my prayer is that you will be a hiding place for me this morning, that the words that I speak and the way that I speak them will come directly from your throne to the hearts and to the minds of those who have gathered in this room. We desperately need a word from you. Speak to us. Hide us in the cleft of the rock. Be honored and glorified in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, and we'll begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 11. This is the third message in a series entitled On the Road to Easter. Week number 1, I challenged you by saying, on the road to Easter, make sure that you're on the right road. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, just those that do the will of the Father which is in heaven. And the tragedy of churchianity is that many who walk the aisle for membership won't walk streets of gold. Many who have been plunged into the baptismal pool won't spend eternity having been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It takes more than a mere profession. It takes a real possession of Jesus Christ, a right relationship to God the Father through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about, as you are on the road to Easter, recognize the call of God in your life. No one is spared that call. Every last one of us who profess to be Christians, we've been called of God to lay down our lives, take up our cross, and follow after Him. His first disciples that were called in Mark chapter 1 had a uniqueness about them. We're introduced to two of them, Andrew and Peter, who were casting the nets. And then we're introduced to two of his disciples, James and John, who were mending the nets. Every last one of us has a gift, a talent, and God's call upon our life is to take what we can do best and yield it to Him for His honor and His glory. This third message today is all about temptation. On the road to Easter, you and I are going to face temptation. Temptation is that small voice that speaks to you every morning and says to you, why don't you live today for yourself? Why don't you gratify the flesh? Why don't you give in to your desires? Why don't you do today what pleases you? Oh, if you're a Christian, there's always in the back of your mind that voice that says, not you, but Him. Be crucified so that the life that you now live in the flesh, you don't live by yourself, but you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. But we're going to look at temptation today in light of the fact that Jesus was tempted very early in His ministry. And he who was tempted without sin is an example for all of us. The first thing that I want to do is read the text, and then I want you to notice that the moment Christ was tempted is a critical moment in ministry. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days and nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Great temptation normally follows great victory. When you are doing nothing, Satan is apt to leave you alone. When you begin to do something for the cause of Christ, Satan gets busy and comes in your direction. So the greatest of temptations often follow the greatest of victories. So think about the moment that Jesus is tempted. He had just come forth to be baptized of John. John had just identified him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John had said about Jesus, I baptize with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In that critical moment, at the beginning of the ministry of Christ on earth, Satan comes to him in power and with great force. Jesus has gone into the wilderness to be tempted. That was God's purpose and plan. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the scriptures say he was hungry. That's his physical condition. And at that exact moment, Satan comes to him with a threefold temptation. Please understand, when you are doing nothing, there is not much of a temptation to change. But when you are doing something, there's always a great temptation to change. If you'll recall in the Old Testament, Israel had swept through the Promised Land and mightily defeated Jericho, the walled city. A small city lay beyond Jericho named Ai, A-I. And in that city, there were some Babylonian garments and some gold. When Israel finally conquered that little city, then and there, they discovered that there had been sin in the camp. Achan had stolen a Babylonian garment, a wedge of gold, had hidden it, and ultimately lied about it. It was at that point of a great victory, Jericho, that Israel fell to a small village, Ai, because sin was in the camp. Please mark this down in your memory. When God gives you a victory, the devil's going to give you a test. And just because you've won the victory doesn't mean you'll escape the test nor overcome the test, for it takes the presence of God and the power of God every moment in order for us to be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. In that moment of resolve, please notice the moment of response. How did Christ respond to Satan? Now, I know that the New Testament had not yet been written. I know that Paul had not yet been saved. I know that Ephesians 6 had not yet been recorded. I understand all of that. But you have to know that the one who's going to record it, the one who's already spoken it, the one who's already written it, understands the principle of it. So I believe that day when Jesus was in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, he already had put on the whole armor of God. I believe he had on the helmet of salvation. That doesn't mean Jesus needed to be saved. It meant Christ thought like a Christian ought to think. I believe he had on the breastplate of righteousness. I believe he laid aside selfish concerns, and he was more concerned with God and God's purpose and plan. I believe he had on the shoes of the gospel. He'd just been baptized in Jordan River, and he's about to walk the countryside preaching the good news that man can repent of his sin, be saved, and spend eternity in heaven. He had on the sword of the Spirit, which was the word of God, and he had a hold of the shield of faith. faith, which kept away the wiles of the wicked one. So when Satan began to tempt him, he stood his ground. He held up the sword and said, say what you will, I'll let God say what he will. Do what you will, I'll let the shield of faith be my protection. So the devil starts quoting scripture. And he says to him, you're hungry, it's right for you to turn stone into bread. And Jesus quoted scripture and said, man cannot live by bread alone. He can stuff his stomach and starve his soul and still die without hope. So the devil said, well, if that won't get you, let me take you to the pinnacle. And you jump off the pinnacle. And if you'll do so, when you get to the bottom, people will surround you and you will be known as the man who can fly. Wow, what a man this man is. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, nor test him. And then the devil said, if that won't work, then I'm going to take you to the high mountain, and I'm going to show you all of the earth around and tell you that all it will take for you to own it all is to bow down before me. And Jesus said, what you need to know is that there's only one name that is a name to be bowed before, and I will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now let me take you back and show you where Satan tempted Christ, in what areas. First of all, he tempted him physically. You're hungry? You want something to eat? You want to satisfy your appetite? 40 days without food, it would only be right for you to turn stones into bread. And Jesus said, I cannot be overwhelmed with physical temptation, for God's word in my soul is more important to me than bread in my belly. And then the devil said, if I can't get you physically, let me touch you emotionally. You've been in the wilderness for 40 days. You've been all alone. You're lonesome by now. You want a crowd around you? Let me tell you how to do that. Jump from the pinnacle of the temple. You will draw a crowd for the miraculous. And if you draw a crowd for the miraculous, you'll no longer be lonely. And Jesus said to him, I want to tell you something. I've been all by myself, but I've not been alone. For the presence of the Father has been with me, and the power of the Spirit has been with me, and the purpose of God has been upon me. And while nobody's been around me, I have not been alone. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he said, I've got one more thing. I want to deal with you spiritually. He said, I want you to look out over the vast domain of what your eyes can see. You want it all? All you have to do is bow down before me and worship me. And it was about this time that maybe a smile coursed the face of Jesus. And he said, oh, Satan, are you confused? This world's not my home, and what you're offering me is only temporary. There will come a day when this world will melt with a fervent heat, and it'll pass away. But let me tell you something. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He owns the wealth of the world in his hands. And he who is going to burn this world up with a fire is building a brand new world. And in that brand new world, there will be no cemeteries, there will be no mortuaries, there will be no hospitals, there will be no sickness, there will be no sorrow, there will be no dying, and there will be no temptation, and you're not invited. And in that moment of resolve, his response was, thank you. But no, thank you. For there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. Noticing the moment, move quickly to the man. And I want you to concentrate on the choosing of the target. Satan could have chosen any number of men to tempt, but he chose Jesus Christ. And there was a reason for that. If he could convince Christ physically to turn stone to bread, emotionally to jump off the pinnacle, or spiritually to bow down and worship him, if he could choose Christ and win there, he could win anywhere. Now, I want you to notice a New Testament passage in Matthew's gospel. When Jesus turns to Simon Peter, Simon has just bragged and said, "Lord, I'll die before I'll deny you." And here's what Jesus says to him. "Satan desires you." And in the original language, that word "you" is plural. Satan desires you. Everybody. Plural. But he is going to sift you. And that word is singular. He's going to sift you, Simon Peter, because he desires everyone, knowing full well if one of the prominent leaders of the disciples falls by the wayside, others will run in fear away from the battle. The same principle that he tried on Jesus, he tried on Simon Peter. Jesus gloriously passed the test. Simon Peter failed the test because Jesus is God and Simon was human. And I want to tell you today that we have an example, and it's not Simon Peter, it's Jesus Christ. The choosing of the target. If I can get Christ to fall, others will fall. If I can get Simon Peter, the other disciples will walk away. Now let me ask you a question. It's a hard question. It's a humiliating, embarrassing question for some of us. Who's watching you this morning? What little boy is tagging around after you, sir? And if you fall, he falls. What if the devil says, if I can get him, I can get his home? If I can get him, I can get his business. If I can get him, I can get his neighbors. And ma'am, what little girl is following after you? What little girl just sits and looks at you and thinks, when I grow up, that's what I want to be like? And if you fall, she falls. And if you give up and you give in, she gives up and she gives in. You see, that's the problem with yielding to temptation. You are not the only one influenced, impacted, and affected. Others are watching. Your neighbors watch you back out of the driveway on Sunday, dressed up and on your way to church. You fall, they fall. Your sons and daughters, your grandchildren, the fellow at work, the person you witness to, the person you've talked to by the Lord. Somewhere, someplace, there's going to be somebody say, if Christianity is that important, why didn't you care? Why didn't you commit? Why didn't you trust? And why didn't you walk in obedience? The devil knew if he could get Jesus. Listen, if he could get Jesus, there'd not be a cross. And there would not be a resurrection. And if there were not a cross, you'd be on your road to hell this morning. And if there were not a resurrection, there'd be no heaven for any of us to go to. The choosing of the target. The second thing that I want you to notice is the channel of the temptation. Why is this important? Because Christ was tempted in the three areas all of us are tempted in. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I've got a need. And if I would just cross the line a little bit and cheat on my taxes. If I just cross the line a little bit and take something from my employer. If I just cross the line a little bit, I could meet my physical need. It's a lie birthed in hell. Emotionally, I'm not getting what I need at home if I just cheated a little bit. Emotionally, I'm not getting the support that I need from this or that area if I just crossed over. It's a lie birthed in hell. Spiritually, they don't love me down there at that church. God doesn't love me, or this wouldn't have happened. If the Lord really cared about me, He'd answer my prayer like I've prayed it. It's a lie birthed in hell. God cares. God's people care. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. There is never a neutrality with Christ or an in-between with His principles. It's always right to do right. And it is always wrong to do wrong. And the reason the devil still tempts us physically, emotionally, and spiritually is because it worked with Adam and Eve, and it's worked with every man ever since, except Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, that's the moment and the man. Give me a moment now to just give you a personal message. Number one, because Jesus overcame, you and I have no need for despair. Are we going to be tempted? Yes, sir. But there is a way to escape every temptation. Now, I want to help you a little bit. Don't spend all your day looking for a way, because a way is really the way. And the way is Jesus Christ. Every time temptation knocks at the door, send Jesus to answer. When He opens the door, there won't be anybody there. He's already conquered and won the battle. You say, well, Pastor, it's not that easy. No, sir, it's not. But here is a commitment from God and a promise from the pastor. If you will lean on the Lord and in all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your pathway and He will keep you in the hour of temptation. Christ is our example. And you will not be, and I will not be tempted beyond my ability to overcome if I will do just what Jesus did and stand on the Word and stay in the Word and stick with the Word when the temptation comes along. Physically, my God is able to meet all my needs through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Emotionally, I'm not ever alone. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And spiritually, why would I worship someone who can only give me the temporary when if I worship the Lord of glory, He can give me the eternal? So there's no need for despair and there is no room for defeat. You don't have to be beat up by the devil. You don't have to give in, you don't have to falter, and you don't have to fail. Every time you face temptation, there is sufficient strength, grace, and mercy for you to overcome. You don't have to listen, you don't have to follow, you don't have to give in. All you have to do is stand firm. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, your loins girt about with truth, the shield of faith in one hand, the sword of the Spirit in the other hand, and let the word of the everlasting God be your weapon against all spiritual warfare that comes your way. In these closing moments, let me say this. somebody, oh, the truth is many somebodies here this morning, you have a habit that needs to be broken. It drags you down. It's like trying to run with lead in your pockets. It keeps you from running the race as it ought to be run. You have a habit in your life, and the chain needs to be snapped in two. Somebody here this morning is in a relationship that's not appropriate. It's not right. I'll just say it like the world says it. You're shacking up, and that's not biblical. I'll just say it like the world says it. You're cheating. That relationship that you're in is not God-pleasing. It needs to be fixed. It doesn't need to be fixed next week. It doesn't need to be fixed next month. It needs to be fixed today. Right now is the time of salvation, and right now is the time for sanctification in your life. Let me tell you something else. There's some folks here this morning that every time Satan comes your way, you get knocked down, and you spend the rest of your time trying to get back up. It's time to stand. Stand firm. Fight to the finish. Don't give up. You won't be by yourself. The God of angel armies is always by your side. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. This battle is not yours anyway. It's yours to give up. It's His to gain the victory. The battle is the Lord's. So in these moments of invitation, you know what you ought to do. You know what's missing in your life. You know what would make it right. You know what would honor God. You know what would defeat the devil. You've got the tools. You just need to start building. You've got the truth. You just need to start believing. Let's stand together, and there'll be pastors here in the altar if we can help you.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they reside.